We have salvation from sin because Jesus the Christ came to earth. He died on the cross and he rose again. Praise him for who he is and who he was and who he will be. This week brings us full on into the holiday season, doesn't it? I mean, from here through the 1st of January, it's just one event after another. And it's meant to be a joyful season. And I pray that it is for you. I pray that you enjoy the time and that you have good family reunions and fun and good food and all the things that we normally associate with this season. Keep in mind, it is a heavy time for some, especially the first holiday season without that loved one that, or sometimes it's just all kinds of things pile up this season. So take care of each other. Look out for your neighbor during this season. It's a sentimental time, isn't it? I mean, for all kinds of reasons, we get sentimental this time of year. In church, we have the stories of the baby coming, the manger scenes, the decorations of Jesus' birth, and all those things that are sentimental. And we worship him who left his throne on high to take on flesh and submit to the treatment of humans. It's a sweet time. But if all we had was the baby in a manger, we would be lacking. We want to celebrate his coming because we know who he fully is. He is alive today. He reigns today. He waits on the throne, at the throne with the Father until the day that he returns for his church and finally judges the world. We're going to read it in the beginning of the book of Revelation today. We'll read all of chapter 1, but I'm not going to try to teach Revelation in detail. We couldn't do it in a few brief sermons. I don't think sermonizing is the best way to teach the book of Revelation anyway, but we can see enough of it today just to celebrate who Jesus is. As we read John's descriptions of his visions into heaven and into the future, let us worship Christ, our Lord. Give him thanks and praise. That's the purpose of the book. It was given to John at a time when the church was severely persecuted by the Roman government, who was really the Romans intended to eliminate the Christian church. That's why John was on the island of Patmos. He was exiled there because of his preaching. And it was a hard time to identify as a Christian. And this word was given to John just to strengthen and encourage the church, to remind us that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is victor. Chapter 1 of Revelation. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what soon must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen. Just briefly, those seven churches in the province of Asia, what we would now call Turkey, were regional centers. So this was written to those seven churches to represent and to really speak to a whole region there in what the Bible calls Asia Minor, or the province of Asia. And though each of those towns was connected by a road, it was basically a loop. And that's where the Apostle John had been ministering. He was an old man by now. This is late in the first century. And he probably had left Jerusalem because of the persecution there and was ministering in this area. And he became so effective that the Romans sent him to the Isle of Patmos to put him away so that he to try to quieten his influence. As I said before, these churches were heavily persecuted. And the Romans were really trying to eliminate this whole movement. And this letter was given, these visions were given to John to encourage the church. You see here that it was meant to be read aloud, to be read in not just the seven churches, but in all those churches. And we are meant to read it and read it aloud and worship. It is the word of God. We see immediately in this letter that Jesus is eternal. He was, he is, and he will be. He is not confined to time. Jesus is not bound by time. He created time. We see also that he delivered the message of God. He illustrated in flesh. He came to look like us and be with us in our neighborhood to show us what it means to live a kingdom life and to die for our sins. He taught his disciples how to be kingdom citizens. We've spent weeks on that topic in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. And his words still live. His teaching is sufficient. It is accurate for our instruction. We also see immediately that death could not hold him. He said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever. He rules even today. Even though Satan has been given way in this world for a time, for a limited time, Jesus is king. Notice in verse 5 that Jesus loves us. That's what it says. Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Right there. Not only does he love us, he freed us from our sin. He didn't just wash us to go get dirty again. He freed us from our sin. We no longer have to submit to evil because we are a kingdom. And we are in a kingdom. We are priests of his kingdom when we serve the Lord. And we are designed for that purpose. We know from Genesis that we are designed for that very purpose. And when we live in that purpose, we will be fulfilled. When we live outside of that purpose, we will be lost, confused, and depressed. I think people not knowing their purpose as being created by God and for God is the number one cause of depression, not only in our country, but in many countries around the world. When you don't know your purpose and the storm comes, you're just overwhelmed. There's no reason. But when you know your purpose in the Lord, you know who you are and whose you are, you can stand through the storm. John said, praise God the Father, praise the Son Jesus. To God be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now verses 4 through 8 are really just the greeting of the letter. And what a magnificent greeting it is. I doubt that your letters or emails have that kind of greeting. It even in just saying hello, John was overcome with the magnificence of the Savior. Look at 7 and 8 again. It says, and he's quoting here from Daniel and from Zechariah, Old Testament prophets. He said, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. John was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's Sunday. That's what he meant. It was a Sunday on the island of Patmos. He was likely by himself, and it says he was caught up in the Spirit. Most of the scholars say that means he was in a trance, a spiritual trance. Let me tell you, do not submit to the trance of an evil spirit. Do not submit to the trance of alcohol or dope that will open the gate to the evil spirits. But if the Holy Spirit brings you into a trance, enjoy it. I doubt very many of us will enjoy it to the degree that John did when he was given these visions. But listen, it's good to be caught up in the Holy Spirit. And as Baptists, we're really not accustomed to it. It's kind of foreign ground to us. And we need to learn. I don't mean we need to be silly. I mean we need to be obedient to the Spirit. Now, where was I before I took off on that rabbit trail? The voice of Jesus, or perhaps it was the messenger who was speaking to John, was loud and clear. John turned to see the voice, it says. He turned to see, where is this voice coming from? And he saw Jesus among the lampstands. Now we know from the end of that chapter that the lampstands are the seven churches. It's telling us Jesus is in the midst of his churches. And he still is. May he be in the midst of this church. May he always be in our midst. May we not proceed without his presence. Whether it be for Sunday school or worship service or fellowship meal or building new things or developing new ministries, may we not proceed without his presence. Look at the description of Jesus from verse 13. When he saw this one amongst the lampstands, he described him as one like a son of man. Now, you know from reading the New Testament that Jesus often used that title to describe himself. He called himself Son of Man. And it comes from the book of Daniel. Daniel had similar visions of heaven. And generations before Jesus came in flesh, Daniel described him. Now, I think John was familiar with Daniel's writing. He would have been. And I think when he saw these visions in heaven, the same kind of words that filled Daniel filled John. He described him as best he could. From Daniel 7, we find these words. Daniel said, "In a vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man." That means a human-looking person. "One like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days," that's the Father, "and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Now, in Daniel's vision, he saw Jesus dressed in priestly garments, a long white robe reaching down to his feet, and a golden sash on his chest. Those were the clothes of a priest. And Jesus is the great high priest. He supersedes all other priests. He opened the way for us to come directly to God without any other human intermediary. He is the great high priest. He ministers to us from the throne of heaven, and he represents us to the Father. Do you like John's description of Jesus' hair? Is that a good one? White like wool. White as snow. Jesus is pure. He's wise. He is knowledge. His counsel is trustworthy. And Isaiah wrote that when we are cleansed of our sin by Jesus, we become pure as snow, white as wool. Are you frightened by the image of Jesus with fiery eyes and a sword coming out of his mouth? Do not fear. But know that his eyes are full of life. He is all-knowing. He is not fooled by our pretending to be something or someone we are not. He's not fooled by our online profile. He's not fooled by our false faces. He sees the truth in every person and in every situation. He is the truth, and everything in his eyes is revealed for what it truly is. And this truth, Jesus, the sword of truth, penetrates even to the marrow. His truth will destroy evil. It will clear the way of the righteous. Jesus is no weakling. Do not fear the sharp, double-edged sword of truth, but revere him. Respect his teaching. Obey his word. John described Jesus' feet as glowing like bronze in a furnace. That tells us that of a firm foundation, purified by fire, and glowing, ready to move, ready to go. He's powerful. He's agile. He's mighty. He's steady and on the move. His voice is like the sound of a waterfall or a rushing river. Every other voice submits to His. Like a mighty roar, like a trumpet, the voice of Jesus is loud and clear. Listen for His voice. John made no mistake when he heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. He knew it was his Lord. In this vision, Jesus held seven stars, which John was told are the messengers or angels to the seven churches. Now, you need not read too much into that or be confused by it. Jesus holds his churches in his hand. Is that good enough? Jesus holds his church in his hand. Even now, let us submit to his grasp. Let us not try to stray from his grip. It reminds me of Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and comfort you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. John saw the glory of the face of Jesus shining like the noonday sun. The brilliance of the sun is like the countenance of Jesus. Chapter 21 of Revelation tells us that in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no need for sun or moon because of the glory of the Father and of the Son is so bright. There will not be any darkness in His presence. Think about that image as John saw him, the white hair, the flaming eyes, the robe of the high priest, feet glowing like bronze in a furnace, a voice like a rushing river. How would you respond to the presence of Jesus? John fell down like a dead man. He fell before him at his feet like a dead man, but he said, Jesus touched me. Jesus reached out and touched me. Look again at the second half of verse 17. If you have read letters, it's where it turns red there. Do not be afraid. These words of Christ to John as he lay there before him, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And that means everything in between, by the way. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus is alive. He's alive forever and ever. He is the eternal one. Now remember last week we read from John 10 and in same writer that wrote the gospel. He quoted similar words of Jesus, but at that point Jesus was speaking to people on earth. He was teaching his disciples and he told them, I have authority to lay down my life and authority to pick it up again. He holds the keys to death and to the place of death. He grants life to those who love him and obey him. Did you hear that? He grants life to those who love him and obey him. And then we have those, again, just to focus again on the I am statements. Those are the kind I just like to read over and over. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I am alive forever and ever. Jesus is not just a baby in a manger. He was. That was his humble beginning. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just one prophet among many. He is the great high priest. He is the good shepherd. How many flocks are in his kingdom? You remember from last week, John 10? How many flocks are in his kingdom? One. He said to those people of Israel, I have other sheep, but I will bring in, then there will be one flock and one shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the King of Kings. How many kingdoms are there? One. His kingdom. And there is only one path to his kingdom. Now, there is another kingdom of darkness. You don't want that one. There is one kingdom of God. And there is one path to his kingdom. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. What we read last week, he said, I am the gate. And he invites you in. He invites all of us, even though he said few will enter. Most people will take the broad path that leads to destruction. But he wants you to come in to his kingdom. Do you need to take that step today? Next week we're going to have baptism service. Do you need to take that step and publicly declare that Jesus is your Lord and you will live obediently for him the rest of your days? If you do, then come on to the front. Let's get it done. Music team, would you come? We'll sing together. We don't have to have a hymn for you to get right with the Lord, but we're going to sing together today. And if you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, then come on, let's get that done. If you've got other needs, you need counsel or prayer, then come on, I'd love to pray with you. Or maybe there's someone sitting around you that you trust and you want to pray with. If you want to come join this church and take up residence and work here, then we'd love for you to do that as well today. Please stand and sing with us.